Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, haunted antiques. Take a look around you. The vintage item movement is big business. And not just reproduction items either. Legitimate items, heirlooms, furniture, jewelry, clothing, you name it. If it once belonged to the living and is still in relatively usable shape, someone is going to try and sell it. This is the business of selling dead people's things. And if you look at it closely, you may discover some of those things are in fact haunted. Haunted antiques that have a life and sometimes personality of their own. How haunted are these items? That very much depends on what it is we're talking about and what the haunted antique was used for. When one owns a haunted antique, does the former owner come with it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. According to author Duane Scott Kearney, who we talked to on this topic, it seems haunted antiques are more of a vehicle for repeated energy than they are for a conscious energy or soul. This means that a specific event or action may be repeated visually or audibly around the object in question. It seems to be very rare that Great Aunt Edna will break free from her brooch collection to share insight on a better way to make her prized casserole recipe. You're much more likely to be plagued by the scent of the tuna casserole than you are by her uncharming personality. But are these antiques safe? It all depends how comfortable you are with unexplained activity occurring around you and your loved ones. When it comes to the paranormal, it seems anything is possible. The real question is, do you like ghosts? Are you okay with unexplained activity in your home? If you answered yes, then acquiring a collection of these objects may be right up your alley. If not, then you may want to stick with a reproduction variety of vintage decor.
I would say I was, like many people, quite a bit of a skeptic. I really hadn't had any experiences in it, didn't have much of an opinion. Though fairly early on when I got into the business, I would say this is a business of endings. The antique business is a business of endings. It's always divorce, downsizing, and death, the three D's. So that, and the latter is always there. Over the years, even from the beginning, I was just exposed to a lot of that. But very early on, a friend of mine who I had gone to college with called me and said that his father had passed. And I was very close to this family, or their Jewish family, and they were almost kind of like a second family to me, and I'm Catholic and know much about that. But his dad was great. So his name was Myron. We were both Pisces, and that I do kind of believe in. And he had a great sense of humor and a great spirit, but he truly suffered Job-like. He had diabetes, and it was, first he lost a leg, then he lost another leg, then he went blind. I mean, the guy was just, but he was such a sweet soul. Anyway, his son says, we're going to have a Shiva at the house, and we'd like you to come. And he says, but there's like a bit of a twist. And I said, well, whatever I can do, And he goes, well, we're going to be needing to downsize Mom. She can't be in this big apartment anymore. It's just the finances of it. So while you're there, just kind of like check out stuff. And initially I said, I'm not really comfortable doing that. It's basically doing an appraisal at a Shiva. that just didn't set right. And he goes, just be subtle about it. Nobody has to know. Just check out this. Now, I kind of embraced it because I'd known them for so many years. And they were a very artistic family. They would go to a lot of like kind of outsider art fairs in the 60s and 70s. And they had a good eye. You know, they would buy really cool things. So in that, I was like going, well, this could be interesting. I get there, and it was a sad occasion, but he was a really cool guy, and people were just telling all the stories about his life, and there was all this food. Oh my gosh, the food! And again, being Catholic, when somebody died, you know, usually you go to a restaurant, and it was always about how popular the relative was, depended on the quality of the restaurant. But just this being in someone's home, I was a little bit taken back. But anyway, this is going on, and I'm just like slowly wandering around the apartment, looking at things. Occasionally, I'd pick up a vase and look for a signature on the bottom, and I tried to be discreet about it. And while this is going on, all of a sudden, there's this scream, and it sounded like his mother, but I didn't know where his mother was, at the time. And my friend went running off, going like, "I think that was mom," and he goes running off into a bedroom. I'm standing there with a plate of Kugel in my hands, not knowing what to do. And everybody goes dead silent. Everybody's like freaking out. What is she screaming about? Well, she screams again. And then my friend opens up the door and says, get in here. And I go into the bedroom. Now, the bedroom, everyone who was attending the Shiva had gone, of course, and put their coats and bags and hats on top of the bed. But when I walked in the room, and there were easily 50 people there, when I got there, all that stuff is all over the floor. Everything. Purses and jackets and contents of purses and coats. Everything's, it was as if like a wind came through and had blown it all off the bed. And she's standing there, and she says, "It's him. He's been doing this all day," which just, again, meant, like, nothing to me. And my friend said, my mother, she's so overcome with grief. Yeah, she probably did this. And his mother is saying, no, you guys don't get it. You guys don't get it. He did this. So we just start putting all this stuff back onto the bed. Because we're really concerned about, how would it look for these people who are mourners coming to somebody's house, and then we're all rifling through their possessions. So immediately my own Catholic guilt is jumping in. And put everything back in place, and then she goes and runs into the bathroom, and she was crying. And my friend said he was going to go back to the into the living room. And while I'm standing there, the TV goes on. Just by itself, just goes on. And it was just this static, between channels. I didn't know what to make of that either. But that was odd. And his mother comes out of the bathroom and again starts with that, with the, "He's been doing that all day as well." She says, "The TV just goes on and off, on and off, on and off." Well, I thought, well, I can fix this. I'm trying to be the helpful guy here. So I unplugged the TV. That'll take care of it, right? I go and use the bathroom. She goes back into the rest of the apartment. I come out, and that freaking TV is back on. The cord is, I can still see this. I can see the cord like laying on the carpeting, that pea green carpeting, not connected to the wall, no juice, poltergeist worthy, crap your pants. What the hell is this about? So that was my first experience, and I would say most vivid experience, of something completely inexplicable.
Prior to getting into this industry and working with antiques and having some experiences, did you believe in ghosts? Did you think that this was a thing, or was it just, something explained away that other people have happened to them, but it's all in their minds?
I believe that You'd hear so many other people's stories, and depending who told you, who's somebody that I believed or trusted, perhaps a teacher or a really good friend. I'd go like, well, you know, that's a possibility. But overall, if I didn't know somebody, I wasn't buying it. And do kind of have an update to this, because after I wrote the book, and there's a chapter in the book called Still Sitting Shiva, I contacted my friend and I said, you know, I want you to know I've written this and I certainly wouldn't publish it without your permission, and I want, you know, your feedback. And obviously we still stay in touch, but we've never talked about this since. And this is a number of years ago. I mean, we were both in our 20s. And he calls me up and he's crying. And I was like, oh gosh, like what did I do? Did I cross a line here? And he said, wow, you really captured my parents. I can hear their voice in your story. You brought me back to that. And I said, oh, that's, you know, I'm really touched by that. But, you know, what about the event itself, as you recall? And he said, no, that's how I remember it as well. And he says, but I've really tried to not think about it over the years. Most of what he told me was that during the 3 days there was a lot of that. I left that night. I was, where's my coat? You know, I'm gone. and afterwards, it was pretty done. It pretty much done with that. And then she did move out of the apartment. I think it said a lot about him. So I don't think he was trying to scare us. I think he was trying to get our attention. He was a bit of a prankster. So I'd say, whereas I didn't believe it prior, given the fact who he was and how it happened, that made me a believer.
So how did you get into the antique business, and how did you start collecting and becoming part of that world?
Okay. So even when I was a little kid, I used to go around the neighborhood and I'd ask the neighbor kids or even kids I didn't know if they had toys that they didn't want to play with, and that I would consign things for them. And so I went around with a little wagon and picked up all this stuff. So basically, you know, it was like a resale store for unwanted toys. And I set it up on my parents' front porch, which they did not appreciate. And I talk about this in the book as well, you know, selling dead people's things. But is that, so I called it the porch store, right? But, and kids would come by and I would just exchange things, or sometimes I made a little money. It was way better than, you know, mowing the lawn or delivering newspapers. but people would drive by and see this sign that said the porch store. You know, they would ask if I, you know, knew anybody who did aluminum siding, or, you know, could I recommend a good plumber? You know, it's just, so like wrong graphics. So my marketing skills weren't very well honed. I did that, you know, as a kid in high school. My dad worked for a division of Playboy, but in the production side of it, and he would come home with proof photographic prints of some of the models, which my mother was not happy about ever. And he was so proud of, like, he did color correction. He was a photo engraver, which is a bit of a lost art now, but computers. But back then, you needed to have somebody who knew how to do that, and it was truly an art. One day he brought home a whole bunch of, usually they just hit the garbage. My mother was just, you know, he had to throw these things out. Don't tell the neighbors. It was that. No one should know. We're living off the softcore profits of smut, you know. And now it seems so tame and ridiculous, but, you know, it's the 60s. So, 70s. So one day he brings home this huge pile of models, these photographic proof sheets. Of course, the garbage, they're in the garbage the next night. Well, I dug them out. And I'm in high school at this point. And I thought, I've got an idea here. So I started selling them in out of my locker in high school. And I'm like a sophomore. I'm 5 feet, barely 5 feet tall, barely 100 pounds. I'm the kid everybody beats up, one of them, right? But it was it made me cool though. And I had never really thought about that. So like the bullies would be like, well, before we smack him, does he have any new photographs of naked girls? again, chapter in the book. So like it's always been there. Always, you know, same thing at college. I had little side businesses. I mean, I go on and on about this, but that's how I got started.
Tell me about the first time you had something happen with an object, something from a dead person, essentially, that made you raise your eyebrows, that made you go, okay, I think there might be something going on here with this, more than just a weird feeling. I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.